party for my day ones. They ain't in the studio, but they'll lay some. Rest in peace to Drama King. We was straight stunned. Y'all don't like the way I talk. Say some. Gotta throw a party for my day ones. Pull up and you know it's us, the bass jumping. Y'all don't like the way I talk to say something.
My face.
Gotta throw a party for my day ones. They ain't in the studio, but they'll lay some. Rest in peace to Drama King. We was straight stunned. If I let my 21 tell it, you a
spin a block twice like it ain't nowhere to park. 21 smack the back side of his head like he bark. OVO for well, we come out when it get dark. Big stepper, he came in a rose, but he left in a stretcher. Let my brother drive while I shoot, team effort. Asking all these questions, you must think you Nadeska. The chopper like the fill on all the options up. I be with my gun like Rose be with lemon pepper.
Hey!
Ew.
What's good? It's the Midday Live Show, episode 5, season 2 in the house. And we got myself, Jazzer Fierce, DJ Spoiled Milk, and DJ Steve Styles. How y'all feeling today?
I'm feeling real good, man.
I'm excited.
He's excited.
I'm so excited.
That's the energy we bring in today. That's the energy. That's the Friday energy we need. Because it's cold as hell outside.
I'm telling you about that. It's cold, but I'm bringing it to you, man. I was sick for 2 days, so I'm bringing the heat today. I've got nothing but energy to give.
Come on. Okay. I see you. So, Steve, how's your week been?
Oh, man, it's been outrageous. You know, I had my I didn't have it, but, like, my gas turned off last night. I was sick for two days. Could have been three. I almost got in a car accident on Monday night. I had to carry some things home. You know, when was it? It was raining one of these days, too. It was a Tuesday or Wednesday. I was carrying some groceries up the stairs, and it was a paper bag. And because it was raining, halfway up the stairs, they ripped, but my groceries fell. So it's been quite the week, you know?
Wow.
Well, damn. But you're here.
You are here.
You're here.
You made it through the week.
Yeah. you made it.
Mm-hmm. You made it.
And we got a real busy weekend ahead. DJ Spoiled Milk, what's going on with the weekend?
Man, the weekend is bussing. That's all I got to say, man. It's bussing, man. This weekend is Big Jam weekend. If you live in Chicago, you know what's up. Big Jam is going down. UIC, the show is sold out.
Sold out.
Yeah.
Okay. So
that's going to be my highlight for the weekend for sure. And, you know, got a couple of spots I'm DJing at over the weekend. Hey. You know, we do what we do. We get it in. We got a Fit and Lit tonight. Yeah. So for all the ladies looking for BBLs, my wife, she will be passing them out around 6 p.m. Be there. Yeah.
Right.
You get a BBL. You get a BBL. Yeah.
Very Oprah. I love it.
That's what she's got going on.
Yes. Yeah.
I'll be spinning as well. What else I got going on this weekend?
What else you got going on?
I'm at the bar tonight, too. I'm at Eden's. All toxic people, meet me there.
Why toxic?
Because, man, look, like Steve just said, he had a long, some may even call it hard or difficult week, right? Thankful that you're still here, you know. Positive energy coming through, but hey, man, forget work, forget all of the drama we just went through. I'm ready to be toxic. I'm ready to drink. I'm ready to do some stuff. You know what I'm saying? Play some music. I might just run around the building one time, come back inside, play another song. Like, toxic energy. It does. First of all, toxic energy doesn't have to be bad energy. Just throwing that out there.
I don't know about that. What you mean? Yeah.
That's he's a toxic crusader.
Like, wait a minute. Yeah. That's a question that needs to be asked. So how is toxic energy? How can that be good? Let us know, because I'm sure I'm not the only one wondering. Like, how is that a thing?
Okay. So
teach us something.
When I arrive to Eden's later on tonight, I will indulge in a couple of shots of 1738.
Yes.
As you should.
And then afterwards, I will allow myself and my body and my mind and my spirit to release all of the toxic energy that I had to withhold and overcome this whole week.
Come on.
Right? So what I'm doing is releasing that toxic energy, and I'm going to turn it around.
Okay.
And have the time of my life.
Okay. I see what you mean. I get it.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's no rules.
You're reverting the toxic energy and releasing it back out.
Right. But I don't want anyone to like receive it. I'm just
you're releasing it.
Yeah. So what I can't do at work, I can't run around here with no shirt on screaming, let's go. You might see that tonight though. So you never know. That's what I'm saying. Like, there's no rules. Anything goes.
I like it.
Anything goes. That's a great theme for the weekend. Anything goes.
Anything goes. With Glorilla, you could say anything glows.
Anything goes.
That's
a little more appropriate.
Oof.
You got 99 problems.
And the biggest one is Steve.
That was a good one.
Yeah.
You've been working on your jokes, I see.
I'm learning from you and all your jokes. All I do is learn. Take notes.
That's what I'm saying. Take notes, y'all. Like DJ Swole Milk, he got a whole notepad full of notes in his phone.
I do.
It's crazy.
I do.
Yeah, he's Mr. Stay Ready.
Mr. Stay Ready, so you ain't got to get ready.
Yes, sir. Period. I love it. Yeah, Mr. Stay Ready. And you better believe I'll be ready tonight. I'm probably going to get there around probably 10 o'clock tonight.
Mm.
You know?
Prime time.
Prime time. 11:30, I'll be in my prime. I'm just saying. Okay.
Yeah, things get wild after midnight, kind of like Gremlins, you know what I'm saying? Like the second midnight hits.
Okay. That's why I say 11:30, because everyone still looks nice. You haven't started sweating yet.
The dress is still fit.
Right.
Oh, it's all white party?
It's an all white party.
Oh,
so
snap. Okay.
The shirt might get a little dirty. You know, I'm trying to, telling people to arrive around, well, first of all, get there before 11 so you get in for free. But if you see me at 11:30, I'll be in my prime. I'll be a little lit. Still look nice. You know what I'm saying? The hat's still forward. So, 12 o'clock. And it's over with. That's your time.
It's lit. That's tonight. How it goes, you know?
Yeah.
But how about you, Jazz? What have you been doing all week? And what are you looking forward to this weekend yourself?
Well, I mean, of course, Big Jam is going to be great. I'm very excited for that. This week alone has been actually pretty fast. Went by fast. I like that. I really don't like when weeks drag, you know? So I'm happy that it's Friday. Happy that the weekend is here. Big Jam tomorrow. Jingle Ball on Monday. I feel like even though that's not part of the weekend, it's close enough. You know, so Monday I'm getting excited to go on stage with my boy Ryan Lee. It's lit.
Yes, sir. Shout out Ryan Lee, man.
Shout out to Ryan Lee.
Yeah.
Right.
But big round of applause for Jazz. That's my home skillet. That's my day
Thank
one.
Thank you, home skillet. This is
monumental. Like climb the Mount Everest monumental. Like to the top monumental. Like Rolls Royce's next monumental. You know.
I would
we don't do radio for the pay.
What did you say?
We don't do radio for the pay.
It's not go there.
Exciting stuff. Yeah, let's change the subject. Back to Jingle Ball. Very excited. God is good. That's all I'm gonna say.
I'm gonna be there, Jazz.
Be there.
Yeah.
Or be square.
And when you're on stage, I'm gonna have all type of cameras out, two phones, like, oh my God, Jazz!
Yes, I'm telling you,
you
those 20, 25 seconds, I'm gonna be living.
You better believe it. I'm gonna be there.
No, I'm gonna be there too. I'm gonna see if I can squeeze in at least get side stage, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. I kind of want to be a fan though. Like, I want to experience it as a fan. I want to try and, you know, get to my seat. Excuse me. You know what I'm saying?
Down in front. Honestly.
But you fine, bro. You tall. You got like a good foot over
That's
the
what
average
I'm saying.
Person.
Down in front.
Hopefully, you know.
You're going to be all tall about it. And you got buddy, but behind you, you're going to be like, nah,
they're going to be so mad. They're not going to be able to see anything.
Who is that coming out? Yeah. I get that a lot, though. That's actually a problem that I have. For real. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, at Big Jam, when I'm working as a digital coordinator and not a DJ, I'm getting all the footage. Mm-hmm. And when I'm up front, I've heard, like, the short... Excuse me.
Or excuse me.
Right.
For real. And I'm here in the background like, I did not pay all of my money to sit up front to not see. Oh my God.
Listen, they don't be playing.
I'm getting violent. Mm-hmm. That's real.
Well, it's serious money for a serious concert. And I know for me personally, this is what I look forward to every year at iHeart.
Yes.
That is true.
Big Jam and Jingle Ball. It's lit.
I'm excited for Jingle Ball, for real. I've never been to Jingle Ball.
Oh, snap.
Yeah.
First timer.
I think that's why I want to be a fan so bad.
Okay, let's digress. Jasmine, if you could summarize Jingle Ball from your experiences, how would you summarize it for DJ Spoiled Milk?
Ooh. Jingle Ball in the past has been lots of energy.
Yes.
It's like energy from start to finish. Like, everybody is super excited to be there. Everybody is, of course, drinking the whole time. And it's like they just keep the energy literally the whole time. It doesn't matter how long the show goes. It doesn't matter who is on stage. They are here for it. That's what I have gathered. When the Jonas Brothers were there, let me tell y'all.
Oh, it was on.
It was lit up in here.
They had the pyrotechnics too.
Yeah.
And that year, my sister, my mom were there too in the stands as a fan. They were watching, but it was immense. I remember I was there too. I was front stage right there.
Oh my God.
And they came so close to me, and I was like, whoa, that's a whole lot of Jonas going on.
Come on.
It was intense.
Yeah.
To add on to what you're saying, like the vibrant outfits from Kiss FM, my goodness. The drinking, of course. People are just bubbly, giggly. It's just a nonstop happy
party. It's a party. Yes.
Oh, I'm excited. Oh, speaking of outfits, is it like, you know, Jingle Ball? So is it like all Christmas sweaters? Like, what's the vibe?
Nah.
Rufio has done a few Christmas sweaters in the past.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
I definitely got a little holiday shimmery outfit going on.
That's what I'm talking about. The shimmer, the glitz, the Swarovski crystals, you know, all that stuff. Uh-oh. That's what it looks like.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, got to be ready to be on stage, man. Glitter, glamour.
Especially, I'm definitely excited.
Especially when you're meant to be on stage.
Ooh.
Salute.
Come on. None but God, okay? None but God, folks.
Hallelujah.
Thank you. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Come on, Steve.
Yeah, we got a lot of things going on for you guys today. We have a top five that's going to be so fun, so upbeat, and it's going to contain nothing but Big Jam artists that are going to be at the concert tomorrow. I'm going to give you a good weather update. We got a mix by DJ Spoiled Milk, and of course, our entertainment report and the joke of the day that you need to stay tuned for.
Heck yeah, but what's up next?
We'll be back with Finish Those Lyrics.
Period.
We the best music.
We're in the mix with Steve Styles.
With Steve Styles. Come on, man. Welcome to the
DJ
night show.
Body in motion. You got me sold. I'm focused. Yeah. Baby, I'm so done. We're waiting.
Pocket scratch.
Tasha, and I have sucker. Been Franklin Spender, a go getter. Wrist looking like December. This ain't that out her ex. Still remember, I pull up in hot house. And saying he built for a picture. He wanna follow for follow, but ain't got no dollars. I gave him a festival. They up in the limit, so I'm about to spend it. I'm swiping a check like a tender. I'm running through mad money in the club. They saying this is got a temper. As a nigga, and shorty is funny. It never matter his gender. Flew out to Cali to ship off a pack, but the addy returned to the sender. That a runner, he ain't got a hustle. He looking at me for a come up. He going for broke while I'm catching the plate like I'm hailing the cap. My thumb up. These on, ain't no shit. Talking out they head don't make no sense. $400 full set. Motherfucking nail cost your rent. Check my account and bacon route and tally up what I spent. He think I'm pretty in the face, but he can't wait to see my Louis Stepper. Rich, rich the pocket structure. A Nahal Sipper. Ben Franklin Spender. A go getter. Wrist looking like December. The same throughout her ex. Ex to remember. Louis Stepper. Rich. Pocket structure, a Nahal Sipper. Ben Franklin Spender, a go getter. Wrist looking like December. The same sit out her ex, but still remember. Big check, VVS to set. I already bought the latest, I'm just waiting on what's next. Get them, conversation, I ain't gotta get. I can't live no soft life, but I'm too pretty to be stressed. I say that. Check, VVS to set. I already bought the latest. I'm just waiting on what's next. Get him off conversation. I ain't gotta get him. I can't live no soft life, but I'm too pretty to be stressed.
Freestyle time.
Yeah.
You was just freestyling earlier. Let's go.
Hold up. Hold up.
Feel the beat.
What I say? She said, it's okay, but don't make it a habit.
Ooh.
Habit.
Over the weekend, I'm going to turn into a savage.
I don't know why you're going. I thought you were going to say rabbit.
But... He gon' get his cabbage like a rabbit.
Okay.
Rabbit. He gon' keep it going like a bandit. Bandit. Ooh. I'ma stay sticky like a bandage. Bandit. Now that he's going like a savage. I'm rabbit. I'm crazy like a mad hatter.
Okay.
Whip it up like some batter. I'm next up like I'm gonna stop.
Okay. Wait a minute. Hey,
wait a minute.
Steve Somebody was give killing me a beat it.
For real. We might have to add a segment to this.
Oh snap! I'm with
honestly, you was about to snap low key.
I'm man, like old tortilla chips, man.
Mm.
See, stock value went down.
Hey, you deserve that. You deserve that.
Thank you.
Tortilla chips.
At least someone laughed.
Hey, I laughed too.
I know.
You're trying to throw shade, low key.
No, I'm just saying, no one can laugh like DJ Spoiled Milk.
Oh man,
I thought about to cry.
I thought about translating like legit, milk in Spanish. Do you know what Spoiled Milk in Spanish would be? He'd be DJ. We could say it two ways. You could say leche que está malo.
Que está malo.
That's some spoiled ass milk.
Just the malo.
Yes.
I gotta learn that. Hold on.
Is it leche gestamalo or is it leche de gestamalo?
Ah, leche. Que, which is Q U E.
Que.
And then space. Another word would be E S S space M A L O. Malo. Leche que es malo or leche que es malo.
I like that one better.
Like yeah. Antonio Banderas. Soto.
Leche que es malo.
Oh, okay. Leche que es malo.
Okay.
Sounds bro, like 21 what? Savage, bro.
We're not going to have to record this, get a soundbite, so I can make it a drop. please.
Or if you missed out in the first half of the episode, you guys can catch us wherever you get your podcast. Keywords are going to be the Midday Live Show.
Period.
Yes, sir.
Let them know.
For sure. Let them know about Finish the Lyrics.
Yes, I was going to say drum roll. Now it's time for Finish Those Lyrics.
Yeah.
You've never gone first, DJ Spoiled Milk. Oh, would you like to go first?
Yeah, you guys want the easiest one or what? Like,
I'll take it easy for a warm up, and then hit us with the hard later.
All right, bet. Are you ready?
Ready.
All right, I gotta get the tempo right. You ready?
Ready, Freddy.
Take headphones off for this. Somebody real is hard to find. Somebody worth all your time. Somebody who can tell you the truth. Someone who loves you for you.
I think it's because it's at a different key I'm not familiar with. But I'm going to give you a blank stare and say zero from Steve.
Oh.
Yeah.
Come on, Jazz.
I ain't got nothing for you.
Come on,
it Jazz. Started to sound familiar at the end. But, yeah. Somebody I don't know what you were going for.
Yeah, because it sounds kind of familiar with the somebody.
Someone who knows all of your flaws and doesn't impose, try to control them all.
Ooh. Lost in the applesauce.
Did
bro,
you ever tell us artists?
I did not. Damn.
So, like, I do not know. Like,
that's really why I don't go first. Come on. All right. Big jam artist.
Tink. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Oh, man. Was it off voicemails?
Is that too much? Because I've been on the search and I'm losing my hope. Is that too much?
Tapped out.
Oh.
Tapped, sorry, man. Sad wow. Trombone. Bum, bum, bum.
I'm treat playing like the world's smallest violin.
Oh, treat me like somebody.
Treat me like somebody. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Damn.
But I didn't give you guys the chorus because I would have gave it away. And that was the easy one.
Damn.
It's going to be rough.
It's going to be rough.
Tight on us.
All right, here we go. Jazz, you want to go next?
Sure. Okay, so my Finish Those Lyrics is all songs, well, popular songs from the year 2000.
Cool.
So I'm taking y'all back. Good 22 years. Mm-hmm. First artist is Destiny's Child.
Oh, snap.
Mm-hmm. So y'all should be able to get this.
Right.
Okay. Nobody's holding you back from me because I know how you usually do. When you saying everything to me times two, why can't you just tell the truth? If somebody's there, then tell me who.
I know this one. I do. Can I request a repeat?
Oh, God.
There's like a spelling bee. Can I get the definition in the sentence, please?
Nobody's holding you back from me because I know how you usually do. When you saying everything to me times two, why can't you just tell the truth?
Oh,
if somebody's there, then tell me who. Say my name, say my name. When no one is around you.
Damn. I know.
Oh, yeah. It started to sound familiar for real.
That's what they all say. I said that the last song, and I did not know what that song was.
And I went like bars and bars in there. Singing my heart out. Still didn't get it.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. All right.
Rough start to finish those lyrics today. Rough start.
Hold up. We're not done with the first song. I'm going to see if I can make this one easy, all right?
Okay, come on.
Here we go. All right, so I chose big jam artist Moneybagg Yo. So I got three songs with Moneybagg Yo as the main artist featuring somebody else. All right, so this song is Moneybagg Yo. I'm going to give you the chorus, all right?
Time of day.
There's a couple. Hey,
damn it!
Now I gotta pick another song. All right.
Just kidding.
There's a lot of swears, so I'm gonna have to cut myself when
you gotta do the radio edit.
Right? Yeah. I can't be toting no handguns unless that come with a 30. I can't beat these dog unless that come with a buddy. I can't be driving no regular cars. It's got to come with a button. I was broke like a while back. Now I'm up all of a sudden. And then...
Are you sure that's our time today?
No, it's not. Mm. Featured artist Little Baby would come in and say, I can't be rapping for free. They got to send me the budget. I can't be...
Oh, shoot. These
I got to slip on a rubber. I can't be rocking no plain Jane. Both of my watches be flooded. I can't be drinking no regular soda. All of my cuts be muddy. I gave the title waves in the chorus.
Did you?
Yeah. But it's all good. Yikes. It's an older song. It's All of a Sudden. Moneybag Yo.
Baby.
Yeah.
Would have never got that.
See what I'm saying? Flat.
Never.
Zero across the board.
Damn, round one.
Tight on me.
We crashed and we burned.
Tight on me.
Yeah, 10. It's on you.
It's just only getting harder from here, guys.
Oh. Let's do it.
All right. Big Jam.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Big Glow.
Yeah.
I'm going to try my best here. Okay. If a couple of them slip, don't judge them, okay?
Uh-oh.
All right, here we go. He'd like to see me ride it from the front, just like a windshield.
Sorry.
I can't even do it for real.
Your voice has to be a little lower. Hold on.
I'm sorry.
There you go. That's right.
He like to see me ride her from the front, just like a windshield. He know that I'm a Big Mac and the other hoes some kid meals.
We can say ho.
Was that a question or
I don't
a
know.
Statement? We can say ho.
Let's add a question mark so I save myself.
I think that's all I can say here, okay?
Oh, all right.
Because after that.
Gets a little crazy.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, I'll say Nut Quick.
Oh!
That was going to be my guess.
Yeah.
Boom.
Whew. Let's go. You did great. That was all right.
Heal me. Yeah.
I got lucky because, you know, for one of the previous top fives.
Yeah.
And when I make the videos, I actually listen to the song a couple times to try to pick out a funny part from it. So luckily, because of you, I got that right. Thanks, Isaiah.
Period.
For sure.
Okay.
I'll get like 2 points for that. That's it.
No, you take all the points.
Yeah.
You take all the points.
Yeah. On point.
Right. On point. Sounds good.
Okay, sunglasses. I see you. Outkast is my next artist.
Ooh.
I know they got a lot of bangers, but I think y'all get this. Bombs over
Baghdad.
Steve.
Really?
Yeah.
No way!
Like,
yes,
yeah, literally.
Hey, double points!
Oh, I want to dance like spoiled milk.
Yeah,
you got to get triple points at this point because I didn't even say anything.
Let's go!
I love how it starts. It's with that bum,
know, right?
Bum.
Yeah,
bum, yeah. One.
That's what I was thinking too. I was excited.
International. And the video was so cool, and I like the color contrast, and then all the kids were chasing him, and Andre's like, yeah. love it. Wow. I just okay. Straight off guess.
Bombs over Baghdad, everyone. Yeah. Period.
Guys, this is not scripted. I swear. This is crazy.
So sad.
Oh, man. All right, cool. This one is should be a little easier. It's Memphis. I was going to say Memphis Finest. Rest in peace, Dolph. Moneybagg Yo featuring J. Cole.
Okay.
Now you're going crazy with Moneybagg right? Yo.
But I'm going to do J. Cole's part.
Mm.
Because it's a more recognizable flow, I think.
All right.
Here we go. Pick up a check. So many digits, they looking like cell phone numbers. What the hell wrong with us? Well-known hustlers climbed up from the tailbone where the world don't want us. Plus, you be dumping, they shooting from the elbow like they be shooting so close like elbow jumpers. Put myself on. All right. That didn't work. All right. How about Moneybagg Yo's verse? Here we go. Here we go. Nah, I'm going to just give it a darn chorus. I got it. I got it. I want it. I want it. I own it. I own it. I'm on it. I'm on it. Let's get it. Let's get it. I'm with it. I'm with it. Yo city. Yo city. I'm in it. What they going to say?
Yikes, y'all. Yeah. That's we were, what we going to say.
We were looking for say nah.
Yeah, that's tough.
Tough. Title.
Sorry.
All right.
I know that one.
Do we got a round three, guys? One more round, or are we exhausted already?
Yeah, man.
I need some type of redemption.
It won't be coming from me. This one.
I don't think y'all gonna get my last one either. To be honest, it's hard.
All right. Well, let's do it.
All right. Let's go.
Mine. Big jam. Big jam. Okay. Katie got banned.
Mm. Okay.
Now, I know what you're thinking.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But it's not that.
I Here figured.
We go. Oh, here we go. Man, I was thinking that.
Too easy.
I know. I heard it.
I learned that lesson.
Katie. I'm sorry. Make Me Rich.
That's the song, bro. I know that song. Make Me Rich is the title of the song. Yep. You just know.
When I read those lyrics.
That don't mean that bad to make you some. You and you. Now make me rich.
Ah, man.
Make me rich. Bands.
See, look at that.
Katie.
You did it.
Not really. He said it before he even really got started. So.
Okay.
Yep. I'll take the points anyway.
Ding.
You know. Okay, so while DJ Spoiled Milk gets salty over there, let's go to my last one.
Mm-hmm.
From the year 2000, we got the artist's name is Vitamin C. Yeah, just by y'all faces, y'all do not know this, and you're not going to get
it. Hold up. I think I might get this.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we'll see.
Because I'm old. That's the thing, though. Let me use my oldness as experience.
Okay, I'll give you a little bit more lyrics for this one. So, you ready?
Okay, yeah.
All right, because we're moving on and we can't slow down. These memories are playing like a film without sound. And I keep thinking of that night in June. I didn't know much of love, but it came too soon. And there was me and you, and then it got real blue. Stay at home talking on the telephone. And we would get so excited and we'd get so scared. Laughing at ourselves, thinking life's not fair. And this is how it feels.
This is how it feels. Killing me because I'm now I'm
as
thinking
as we
like,
go on
oh
we remember
all the times
we
spent together
come on, Steve.
That's about it.
Okay, do you remember the song?
Hold on we'll remember. I'm gonna just say time together.
It's called probably. Graduation.
Oh, graduation, what the hell.
Close though. You knew what song I was talking about. So
yeah, that came out like when that song you put on Twitter recently. Sorry for pointing. Natasha Bedingfield. That one song that was with the Coca-Cola. Yeah,
yes.
With the Coca-Cola commercial.
Yes, that was my jam. Seriously.
For sure.
Tough.
I know you were over there not knowing what was going on.
I'm zero for three. I ain't gonna lie to y'all. Tough.
Super tough.
That song used to make me cry. Like, yeah. For real. I would listen to it like in eighth grade, you know, graduation. I was graduating. And then I was like, oh, my God, what if I don't ever see my friends again? Like, I was just. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Overwhelmed.
It used to make me cry. I was very overwhelmed with emotion, you know.
Emotion. Yeah. Spoiled Milk, were you able to get the next song?
Yeah, I got one. I mean, I kind of just gave it up considering how I just, you know.
You bombed a little bit. Just a little bit.
All right, so since Steve automatically knew what song you were gonna use, I decided to double down. You ready for it?
Okay.
This is coming from, oh, this is not the one I wanted. You know what? No artist.
Okay.
You just gotta know it.
All right. He be making up his own rules.
Yeah.
Okay.
There we go. Period. So I typed a text to a girl I used to see saying that I chose this cutie pie for who I want to be. And I apologize if this message gets you down, that I CC every girl that I CC round town. Come on. I know y'all know this.
Keep going. Keep going. Maybe there's a little more.
I'm reaching.
Is the artist Sleazy World? Go.
No, this is not a big jam artist.
Oh.
Double down for jazz since Outkast was just like, boom. Right?
Boom.
So this is an Outkast song.
Oh.
Okay.
Want me to read it again?
Yeah, please.
Yes.
So I typed a text to a girl I used to see saying that I chose this cutie pie for who I wanted to be. And I apologize if this message gets you down. Then I CC'd every girl that I CC round town. And I hate to see y'all frown, but I'd rather see a smiling witness all around me. But I'm no island. Peninsula, maybe. It makes no sense. I know, crazy.
That's definitely Andre 3000, right?
Yeah.
Good show. Yeah. Is it a newer, like we talking like Speaker Box Love Below, or is it like AT Aliens?
Let's see. What can I give you guys?
I feel like I know the song, but I don't want to like confidently guess with my chest. No. And I'm wrong.
Say it with your chest.
Who?
Is it with Sleepy Brown? I was going to say, I like the way you move.
That's what I was thinking. That's what I was thinking.
Right?
Okay, well, if it's not that.
One more guess? Or you want me to tell you?
I got nothing.
Steve?
Negative.
Going to the altar. I know you ain't a pimp, but repent. Remember what I taught you. Keep your heart. Three stacks.
Oh my God.
Keep your heart. Three stacks.
International Players Anthem.
Yes.
There
you go.
Damn, folks.
That's what I'm saying. Aw, shucks.
Finish those lyrics was rough today.
Tough, super, man. Rough.
Dine on them.
Well. You know, that's life, though. You have rough moments, and then you get back up.
Yeah. Or if you're like me, you have rough weeks.
Yeah. But here comes the weekend. And as Glorilla, big jam artist, would say, every day the sun won't shine. But that's why I love tomorrow.
Speaking of the sun, man, Steve, do we have good weather coming into the weekend?
Oh, well... Unless you send it to a weather report, I forget to say anything.
Well, let's get to a weather report, man.
Let's get to
it. With
it.
What's good, Chicago? It's your boy, Steve Styles from the Midday Live Show, and this is your weather report. It's currently a lovely, I don't want to say lovely anymore, it's 39 degrees, and we got a high of possibly 48 degrees here in the lovely city of wide shoulders, Windy City, aka Chicago. But don't sweat it, guys. The weekend's looking pretty nice because we got a weekend of 44, 45, and then Monday we got 39 degrees.
That's great.
It's great from what we had before. A few days ago, we were in the teens. We had 12 degrees, 19 degrees. This is a bonus. I know in Chicago, the second it hits 40, we're like, bring out the barbecue. You know?
Yeah, I know. But thank you for that anyway.
Anytime.
We appreciate you. Seriously.
Of course.
But of course. So after a few commercial breaks, we're going to come back with a special guest. He wants to chime in on our discussion topics for today. You may know him. He goes by Chris Green. He's an actor, most recently in Dahmer on Netflix. So Midday Live Show will be right back with Chris Green and some interesting conversations. Staying lit with Steve Styles.
Steve Styles.
Ba, 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 ba. Right?
Wait, that's me.
What's up, Steve? How you feeling?
Feeling great. Feeling good to be here. Blessed to have you guys here with me. What's up?
Man, I'm feeling good, man.
Good.
How are you feeling?
I'm feeling great. I'm feeling pretty darn great. Because we're about to get into some discussions. Interesting discussions. But first, we need to welcome Chris Green to the show, to the Midday Live Show. He is no stranger to this, okay? But we haven't seen him in a while, so it's great to welcome him back. Hello, Chris Green. How you feeling?
My
right?
Man.
Gotta clap it up.
Clap up.
You guys hear me?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, okay,
yes.
Cool. All right, because this thing was acting wonky, so, you know, make sure it was all good. How's everybody? What's going on with you?
First of all, we got to shout out Chris real quick because he was in the comments. He knew every song from the jump.
Well, I actually said that. I was thinking about the Dave Chappelle skit too simultaneously while I was sending the answer. And I know it's International Players Anthem because I love that song, but I was thinking about the skit with like Ice-T and and that's the player hit his ball. It was all at the same time. Just tripping, but. Good song. I can't believe you got. I know it was right there on the tip of your tongue. I knew y'all had it, Steve and Jazz. I knew y'all had it. I knew it was
we
right
were trying. There. We were trying.
Okay.
So, that whole finish of lyrics man. Today. Whew. It was rough.
Yeah.
We tried, though. We tried.
Yeah. It's all good. I mean, you have some good songs, though. So.
Period. Great job. Great job, Isaiah. Great job.
Thank you. It was a little rough this time around, but you know, hey.
You know. We did our best, especially when Steve knew B.O.B. before I even said anything. Like
yeah. That was
you
crazy.
Threw off my groove. You really did.
I did it twice.
Interesting story about B.O.B. I worked with him on my first network TV. Well, when the network was a cable TV show. I don't know if you guys remember that show. Single Ladies had Lisa Ray and
mm-hmm.
So the episode I worked on, B.O.B. was in that episode, and I ain't gonna get into too much detail, but he's a wild cat. I'll say that. He's definitely a wildcat. So, but it was fun. Like, nothing bad, nothing crazy. But, you know, he just, I think he forgot we were acting. We were shooting in an actual club in Atlanta. And I think he forgot we were acting. So, like, we had full access to the whole club, even though we weren't supposed to go to certain places in the club. So, I think he just forgot for a moment we were acting. But, you know, it's all good. It's way back in the day. I'm sure he's all right now.
Sounds like my type of guy.
Yeah, right. That's real generous of you to say he forgot.
Yeah. I'm sure, you know, he forgot what was going on. So, who's that? I see comments. That's awesome. Thanks, Linda. Appreciate it. I hope you enjoyed the show as much as you could. I know Dahmer's hard to watch, but definitely appreciate the support from everybody and the love. So,
I mean, she's right. You killed it. Thank you.
Yeah, it was interesting, man. I'm sure Evan's going to get all his praise and his props, and Niecy as well. That cast was just pretty good. So everybody's going to get their love and support come award season, which is not why, you know, those actors, you know, two different types of actors. Some actors do it for awards, some actors don't. And Evan's definitely not one of those guys. Neither is Niecy. She's not one of those ladies that does it for that, but it's always nice to be recognized by people when, you know, your work is out there and you hope people are going to like it and they respond well to it. So.
Yeah, you're very talented, Chris. And if I could slide in a quick question before the discussion, when it came to casting, did they reach out to you, or they talk to your people? How'd they go about doing that?
Yeah. Usually, typically what happens is, even if you are, you know, higher up the food chain, typically what happens is they're going to, unless the writer knows you directly, like the thing with Ryan, him and Evan have a relationship. Obviously, they've worked together. Like you said, he's known Ryan known Evan since he was 17. So they've worked together forever. So, of course, he directly got the script to him. But like with Niecy, he's worked with Niecy before, but he sent it to her, but he also contacted her team, because that's the thing, is you got to make sure these actors are available. So typically your manager will get the script and then they'll say, hey, man, they want you to audition for this. Go knock it out, or go read, or a Zoom meeting, whatever. In my case, they wanted me to send in a tape. And then it was crazy because I didn't hear anything for a couple of weeks. But we also filmed this during COVID. And we shot this in Los Angeles, outside of Los Angeles, too. And, you know, COVID hit the West Coast pretty hard. So that's what took so long. And they finally got to me and they were like, all right, cool, man. We need you out here like tomorrow. I was like, damn. Okay. So, yeah, awesome. Yeah, it went pretty quick. But that's typically how it goes. They'll hit your team up and they'll say, hey, we want you to audition, or we want you to, you know, have a meeting with the director. You do that, and, you know, the rest is, if they like you, they like you. They don't, they don't. You know, you just keep it trucking. But luckily, they like me for it. So, yeah.
Who doesn't
love
like
to see
Chris?
It? Right? Yeah. Come on now.
You know, there's some haters out there. But it's all good, man. The right people like me, so I appreciate you guys.
Awesome. Thank you for joining us.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
Yes.
Man.
Absolutely. So the big reason why you are here, this is a conversation that we need to talk about. I saw it on Twitter. I saw Chris talking about it. And right. He was like, if your answer isn't one or two,
right,
then you're too young to talk to me. And I was like, well,
right.
This is awkward.
Right.
So looking at these controllers, let's look at number one and two. Let's start there. Let's start there.
Aging myself. Man. Oh. In my defense, actually, I'm going to go ahead and keep it a buck. I have older siblings. So technically, the only reason why I know about, you know, the Atari joystick is because my siblings had that console growing up. So I was too young to really, I mean, I played, but I was too young to get the comprehension of it, obviously. So, you know, because that came out in the 70s, I believe, like late 70s. So, you know, my siblings had it and they were playing, you know, I remember watching them playing Pong and Galaga and some of the stuff, you know. So that's why I'm familiar with that. So to be technical, my first one as far as comprehension would be like that NES controller, you know what I'm saying? And it's crazy because back in the day when you would hold that controller, it was so big.
Yeah.
I hit that thing and I'm like, what the hell is this? I feel like Will Smith in Men in Black. I'm going to break this damn thing. You know what I mean?
Cricket.
Yeah, it's so tiny now. It's like crazy, man. But yeah, all these controllers, man, are just bugged out. So yeah, let's have this discussion because I'm interested to see which game you guys remember first playing, you know, when you got your system. So
oh boy.
Well, I know
Chris,
you already heard from me.
Sorry,
I'd love
Chris,
to
said three. Yeah. For it.
Yeah.
Three was your first one? Chris?
For me? Oh, no, two. Two was my first
two.
One. Technically, I remember one, but two was technically like for me. The system that I got was, you know, Christmas was Nintendo, so that was.
What? I'm sorry. What is that?
It's, you don't know what number two is?
Can't say I do. I'm not.
Hold up. What?
Hey, hey.
My voice just changed pitch. I'm not gonna lie to
y'all. Oh no.
I'm sorry.
NES, that's Nintendo Entertainment System.
Yes,
the Famicom, as they called it in Japan.
Right.
That's Super Mario Brothers and Duck Hunt right there.
Man, that's where Mario was born right there, man. Well, technically he was actually born Atari with, you know, with Donkey Kong, but
that's right.
That's where Mario got his actual shine. They built that whole thing pretty much around him. You know, Mario, Zelda, Duck Hunt, man, come on, all the old school stuff. I'm sure you've heard of this stuff, Jazz. You had to have heard
it. I've heard of it. I've just never seen this controller in my life. I'm not gonna lie to y'all.
Okay, because if you haven't heard of it, it's gonna be some problems.
I feel like we're trying to teach you the Dead Sea Scrolls, man. I feel ancient. we don't find the NES in the back of a cave.
Man, listen, it's crazy. And you can't find the cool thing about, you know, nostalgic things is like if you try to go find an original NES system that works, you're gonna pay damn near as much as paying for a PlayStation 5. I mean, because it's so hard to come by the original ones.
Yeah.
You know, you gotta take care of what, 40 something years old now? So them jokers is
40. Don't say that number.
Right. trust me, I understand. What's up, man? Yeah, I saw you tweeted me back, and so I saw which one you went too far behind, you know.
Nah. So, I mean, I got in hard with Sega, number three, right. Sega Genesis. Man. I just
number three.
Because at the time I wanted a Nintendo. Right. I was like nine and a half going on 10, and my birthday's in the day after Christmas. So right. I kind of always, you know, either got one big old present on Christmas.
Right.
And
mm-hmm.
then the next day I'd be like, all right, what's up for today? Man, we took care of you yesterday, bro.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. Right.
But
right.
It was so expensive. Like the NES retained value for the longest, you know, and, we were able to catch, you know, a sale or a deal on a used NES with the Sonic the Hedgehog 2. And I just went to work and just rotted my brain just hours and hours playing that stuff.
Right.
Whew. Number three. Okay. Oh. DJ Swole Milk, your turn.
Okay.
Which one did you start with?
So I had an older brother too. So I would say number four was the first console that... entered the household, right? Nintendo was the first. But I would reside with number seven, PlayStation 1.
Wow. You jumped from SNES to that. I mean, you said you had older siblings, so.
Yeah. He's 7 years older than me, so. Yeah. Okay. You know, he touched everything first. But my first game, number seven.
Okay.
And what was the game on, maybe, for PlayStation 1 that you really enjoyed?
Oh, man. Twist of Metal.
Oh, stop it. I was going to say that.
Of course.
With the what car. Is that?
Twist it.
Oh. Explain, guys. Explain.
Never mind. You don't. It's okay. I saw everybody got offended just now. So it's okay. I'll Google, you know.
Nah, you got it. Was it actually the interesting story? You'll get a quick education, I believe. Summer of next year, the movie's coming out. They're filming it right now. Twist of Metal movie.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so supposed to be. So.
Okay,
Steve, you want to explain it to Jazz, man?
Yeah, of course. Man, so PlayStation 1, this was a monumental game because it gave you the freedom to do what you please. It was almost like you're in a car and you're going against somebody in their car. But these cars are custom, and this takes place in a post-apocalyptic world where anything goes. There was Sweet Tooth, which was like, imagine a ice cream truck.
Yep.
With a clown with a fireball on top of his head just flaming, and you're shooting napalm bombs at people. And then there's race cars. Napalm bombs. Napalm?
Look, she's a lover, not a fighter, man. Come on, man.
Oh, for sure.
I don't know what that is.
Well, it was just like you're trying to make some money, and so you're touring around the world. I think that's Twisted Metal 2. Twisted Metal 1 was like here in the States.
Right.
And you'd battle different people in different areas, and you just try to get money and level up till you I think there was like a head boss, and he was the one that actually ran the thing. And if you got to, and if you laid him out, they'd give you like some super cash prize and the money and the fame.
Right.
Okay.
It was wild.
Yeah.
So it was basically based on the more damage you caused,
right,
the more you win, in a way.
But it was so uncanny at the time because things were a lot more conservative in the late 90s, I would have to say, when it came to video games. There was regulations by certain government agencies that was like, no, you can't show blood. You can't show this. And this game had it all. The blood, you could run over people. Yeah, there are actually like, people too sometimes. Yeah. Bystanders, and you just run them over and get
just
like
run them over. Yeah,
man, we was reckless back in the 90s. Actually, that implemented, I think it was 93. Whenever Mortal Kombat came out on Genesis, is when the government came in with the parental advisory. You know, you had that on music. They now had it on games, and then they had to develop the rating system because, you know, Mortal Kombat was, they had, so Genesis, Super Nintendo only released it with the non-blood version. It was still combat, but like you didn't have the fatalities. Mm-hmm. They had like PG fatalities. Genesis had that secret code you could put in at the beginning, and then it would unlock doing all the blood, and kids were playing it, and then parents, of course, were in an uproar because, you know, you got people pulling heads off and burning people and, you know, nut punching people.
Nut punching.
So it was like, it was crazy. And then parents were going crazy. So they had to put that regulation on there. So games, they could have that stuff in there, but they had to have the sticker. Just like, you know, if you buy like a rap album back in the day, you know, it had the sticker on there. It was like, oh, explicit lyrics.
Parental advisory or something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But now, man, it's like full blown. Like, look, Grand Theft Auto wouldn't have no way, shape, or form survived back then. Now, Grand Theft Auto is like the norm. That's like Disney World compared to some of these games, man. I'm looking at some of these games now and I'm like, I'm a little bothered by that, I guess, being a parent. I'm like, I don't want my daughter playing. Like, this dude is literally, like, Call of Duty, like, casting, sniping people. I'm like, man, crazy. This is nuts. And it's normal. They're just like, oh, yeah, I'm just playing it on my handheld. I'm like, oh yeah.
Just collateral headshot.
Right. I'm like, you know, and now you got the interactive, like, cats be getting mad on there. Obviously, that's why I haven't touched a game console. I think the last game console I played was probably 18, and the only reason why I know about Switch is because my daughter has one. So if she didn't have one, I wouldn't know nothing about that. Like, I don't even think I played. I know the new PS5 is out, but I haven't played. I think the last PlayStation I played was, I don't know, one of these, like 13 maybe or something. I don't know. It's been a minute, so I'm just kind of like, games got too confusing for me, man.
That's real.
Got a question.
C.
What is your number one game?
The Sims. That's not a question. Come on now.
The Sims?
Are you going to act like you don't know me?
I can get down with that.
The Sims will always be my favorite game. Always. Number one. The only one.
So what was
one
your,
of one.
What was your console? Because we all got our answers. We didn't hear you. You talking about we're going to hate you. So I'm imagining you're probably in a double
digit. So with my dad, I remember playing Soul Calibur 2 for the first time with number 6. So that is the first controller that I remember playing with.
Okay.
But as far as like my personal game console, I had a GameCube. So number 10.
I knew it.
Number 10.
Say that too. Oh,
wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Console, yeah.
I know. I love the GameCube. It was so much fun.
GameCube has some friendly games on there. So, you know, that makes sense. You know,
I was playing Pokemon, if that counts for anything. That was my first GameCube game. Pokemon XD, Gale of Darkness.
Yeah. I don't know about the Pokemon life, unfortunately.
Man.
Yeah, I could tell y'all kind of blank stared me. So
I could learn a little bit. I mean, my son collects the cards. You know, I play against him. You know, he loves.
Oh, that's
that
another
stuff.
Level. I'm not on that level.
I collected the cards too.
Yeah.
Pokemon and Yu-Gi-Oh. Holograms type of like. I used to have a whole binder. Yeah. It was some crazy.
Oh God, not a binder.
It's in my book bag. When we come to lunch, recess, it's busting.
Stop.
That's how you trade. Yeah, you trade cards. Yeah.
What? Oh.
I have a sad story actually about, when I say sad, not like somebody got hurt, but like financially sad. I was big into that too. And my pops used to take me to buy, you know, all the stuff. You know, in New York, we had a comic book shop. It was right next to Modell's, actually. So I would go get game comics and trading cards, and then I would get sneakers because, you know, I was just spoiled like that. Because my pops was always, you know, hooked me up with the shoe game, so that's why I'm a sneakerhead. But
respect to pops, man.
Yeah, you know what I mean. So I remember before I went to college, I had kept all that stuff. So I'm talking like I had first run comics of like X-Men and Daredevil. I had like all when they were doing the cards, you could put like the cards in the card sheet and they would make like a splash page or a comic book page. So each individual card had their thing, but once you put it in the rows, it made a like a puzzle. It made like a big picture. Mm-hmm. And I remember I came back, my mother had moved, and I came back and we were cleaning out the storage and I was like, yo, mom, where's my comic book stuff? And we couldn't find it. Like, literally, it just got lost in the move. They moved out of state. So it got lost in the move. And I remember those cards used to be like a dollar for a pack of like 10. Like, super cheap. Because nobody thought anything. I remember when, before I moved to Florida, I had just on willy-nilly went on eBay. I was like, you know what? I'm gonna just look this stuff up, nostalgic reasons. And when I tell you the amount of money that those cards and comic books were going for, when I say I cry, I literally cried. Like a day, because I honestly I could have bought me a nice house.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
wow.
That's how good.
We're going for like 15 racks, wow. And I had, and they were all in the sleeves, making this. So you know that show like Storage Wars or whatever. Like I don't know if you heard that. And go to the storage. Somebody done got broke off on my stuff.
Wow, that's a come up
somewhere.
So damn.
Wow.
Yeah, I was pretty upset about that. So now it's funny, like when my daughter's buying stuff. I mean, most of the stuff is digital for kids now, but when she does get like a book, like I know that Captain Underpants series was like huge when she was
goated. Right. Yes.
I tell her take care of that stuff, man, because when she gets my age, that it might come back around, man, and be worth something. So you gotta just be beating your stuff up, like even with the sneakers we were talking about, you know, you gotta take care of the kicks, because you know these resellers, when it's dead stock, they get on there, you know, you pay $200 for your shoes, but somebody will buy them from you for $6. So it's like,
wow,
you know, save that stuff, man, it'd be worth stuff.
Facts.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Mm.
So, I have a question for you guys. So is there a game, since we were talking about that, is there a game that used to frustrate you so much? Like you used to get pissed off and like curse the TV or like throw the controller down or whatever. Is there like a game that made you so mad you would turn it off, but then like an hour later you playing it again?
What?
Yes. Too many to count. Let me think.
Right.
You want my top game or?
Yeah. What was the one that was like you were so mad you ain't won it, but then you went out and played it again, or you had to buy another copy because you were so mad and you broke it.
Dang.
And played again.
Woo.
Tough. I broke a controller on Midnight Club. Mm-hmm. Midnight Club Dub Edition. I broke a couple of controllers. Oh,
holy cow! Tekken. Dub Edition.
Tekken was my game. Tekken 4. I bought so many copies of that, man. Bro.
Yeah.
Man. You know, is this because you were breaking the disc? You bought so many copies.
You know you get frustrated because you're getting your ass kicked on the game, and you just you know
you can't break the TV, so
right.
So you take the disc out of there. You just break it.
She's like, this is why that's I real. GameCube, because it's like friendly game.
Exactly. And the discs are so small, you know?
Right.
Little dainty. Nice. Yeah.
It was tough, man.
That's hilarious.
Wow. You get all the way to the final round.
Mm-hmm. Tekken.
We're winning. And then all of a sudden, what? Come on. This is the 10th time I've made it to the final round. But then tomorrow, we got to go to GameStop. We got to buy another one because I got to beat it.
Right.
Yeah.
Did you see the series, the animated series they did? I think it was on Netflix. They did a Tekken.
I did.
That was pretty good, man. I thought it was good. I thought it was well done. At first, I was like, and my wife was like, man, this is pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. You should check it out, you too, if you haven't seen it. Did you see it, Steve? Yeah, y'all got to watch it, Jazz. You got to watch it. It's one of those, even if you're not into anime, like the storytelling about it. You know, it really is just it's not just a revenge story, it's a love story. You know, I don't want to give too much away, but it's you know, that thing that I think every little boy who grows into a young man ultimately is just, you know, mom's is always going to be, you know, number one, and you'll do anything to protect her, right?
Yeah.
So I think that's why a lot of people, because people that didn't even play the game, like I would look at, you know, comments on like, you know, YouTube and people posting clips or whatever. And people are like, I knew nothing about this game, but I enjoyed the series. And so it was like, I think that's why they did a good job with the storytelling in regards to that. They made it to where people could identify, yes, this fantastical world, but, you know, people got to identify with the mission that, you know, Jim was on. So
that's awesome, okay, man. The trailer looks nice too. I'm kind of peeking at it in another tab. It looks good.
Right. Yeah. It's solid, man. I think it's on Netflix. So yeah, definitely check it out.
Jazz, was there any a game for you that just frustrated you to the point where you just had to? Here we go.
I'm really not trying to get treated right now or judged. So I thought of one game, but I'm going to go with the other answer.
Oh, how are you going to know?
Go with both. No, no, no. I want to hear both.
Oh, both. Both. Both.
Both. I'm not trying to get treated. Okay, but since you asked, so the first thought that I had was this was a PC game. It was called Mary Kay and Ashley Crush Course. And so the whole point of the game was at the beginning, you are going to a spring fling or whatever with these guys, and they ask Mary Kay and Ashley out. So they wrote it on a note though, and they give it to you. And the mean girl of the school comes around and she rips the whole thing up in a bunch of pieces and she throws it. So they, you know, flutter all across the school and you have to find all the pieces, like play mini games to get all the pieces and find out who asked them to the dance. So that was the whole goal of the game. So that game made me so mad on so many occasions because I still to this day never beat it. I was missing one piece.
See, that's
one
why.
Last piece of the note.
Why you get mad? Why? Like you said, the final boss, and then you fall for it, and it's like you did all this work.
Yeah,
over it.
Would you go back today and play it again?
100%. I want to know who asked him to the dance. I spent at least two, three summers playing that game. Like, every time a cousin would come over, my little sister, I'd be like, "Hey, you got to help me beat that last level on the Mary Kay and Ashley game." And they would be like, "Jazz, I don't want to play that game." And I'd be like, "I don't care. Right. You need to help me, right. Please." So yeah, Mary Kay and Ashley, that made me pretty upset. And the other non-judgy one, I think, Lara Croft, Tomb of Darkness, I think it was called on GameCube.
Them RPG games, man, them you title characters, them joints, that Resident Evil, those type of games are tough, man.
The bosses or whatever that you got to beat, it was this one Chinese dude. He would piss me off every time because I would get this close to beating him.
Right.
And then he'd do some, you know, super cyan move or whatever, and I was done every time.
Oh, man.
That would blow me. I would, you know, I would toss the controller a little bit across the room. I wouldn't break any discs or anything.
I would toss it a little bit. Like
just, you know.
So just sprinkled the controller.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, I would just.
It's a little tossed. It's a little tossed. Yeah, Lara Croft and Mary Kay and Ashley. Those
are my
games.
Not gonna lie, man. I want to hear the judgmental one. Like, you got me on.
Mary Kay and Ashley. That was it.
Oh, that was one?
Yeah.
Oh.
Because I know when I say Mary Kay and Ashley, I was like, yeah.
I mean, you know, listen, I'm not judging, but you know, based on what you were saying and looking at us about like y'all playing these aggressive games, I'm not shocked really that you would play something like that.
Take the time too when this took place and when it was released. They had an empire at the time going on, from Full House to the VHSs they released.
Come
to
on.
The movies.
Don't
overseas.
Get me started on the VHSs. Don't get me started on that.
Yeah, I got older sister and younger sister, and they're all about it with that stuff.
Right. And it's always, the funny thing about it is, if you notice, it's always in the younger realm, it was a thing there for a moment. It was like twins. You know what I mean? You know, Tia, Tamara, then you had, you know, you had Mary Kate and Ashley, and it's like, even before them, even though they weren't twins, but they were kind of pitching them that way, crisscross when they were, you know, out. It was like, there was this thing about having two young kids just doing stuff, and it was...
Yeah.
It would just capture everybody's attention. And it's like, you know, we know Mary Kay and Ashley, but you talk to the young kids now, a lot of them don't even know them because they just know Elizabeth. They're like, oh, wait, she has sisters? It's like, yeah, she's a baby. Like, if it wasn't for her older sister, there would be no Scarlet Witch. Well, probably, you know. But you know, it's like they just know Elizabeth. So it's crazy when I hear like younger, like my daughter's friends talking about stuff. And I'm like, this is probably how my parents felt when...
Yeah,
you know what I mean, especially with the music world, we listen to it and it's just like They're like, what you know about that? Oh, you old people copied our stuff. And it's just like, they want to slap you for saying something so dumb, you know?
Oh, man.
Like, go in your room. Go in your room, you know? So, yeah, it's interesting, man. How everything kind of comes back around. What's the video game adaptation movie, or what's the movie that came out that you was like, all right, cool, I rock with it because it's based on a video game and they actually did a good job? Because it's like, well, what's one you liked, and then what's one you were like, man, that was garbage, I can't believe y'all did that?
I know which one was garbage, because like I used to really go hard on Street Fighter, Street Fighter 2 Turbo or something. And so I wrote with it, did all the series, and then when they came out with the movie,
right,
and I went out to watch the movie, I'm like, man, this movie sucks. It's so nothing like the video game.
So disappointing, man.
So disappointing. I mean, shout out to Raul Julia. You know, he's an actor. RIP, too. Great performance, you know. That guy actually was battling, I think, like Chadwick Boseman. He was battling cancer at the time during the filming. But, man, that just sucked. I was thinking about, I wanted to see Hadoukens. I wanted to see uppercut. I want to see flash kick with Guiles and stuff. I want to see it. I want to see Honda do that thing with the headbutt, boom,
yeah,
the hands and just...
yeah. And the crazy part about that was, I think I equated to like the DC Marvel thing, right? But Street Fighter came out first, and then I guess when Acclaim saw that, and they were like, yo, we can't mess up Mortal Kombat, and that's why I think people were so Mortal Kombat. When you go back and look at it now, it's kind of like,
I'll still watch it,
but it's like for the time. Ooh. Oh, they killed it. Like, because when you first saw Scorpion and Sub-Zero on the screen, man, I remember being in the theater. People lost it, bro. They was just like, yes.
It was crazy. Get over here. That was such a big moment, man. And the soundtrack was outrageous.
Perfect. And then they came out with the second one. It's like, what are y'all doing? What are you guys doing? You know what I mean? Like, you just completely butchered this and messed it all up. What about you, Jazz? Do you have any video game movies that you like?
I don't. Really? I have nothing for either answer.
You didn't like Tomb Raider when Angelina Jolie did Tomb Raider? You know they did the Tomb Raider movie.
I saw half of that. So I never finished the whole thing, so I can't even really give an opinion. And there are no Sims movies as far as I know. No. I saw it on a streaming service. I don't remember which one. Ooh. It was some years ago.
Right.
But yeah.
You didn't see the new one? You know they did. So they had Angelina Jolie, and then they did Alicia Vikander, I think I said last name. She did Laura Croft as well. I think it was like late 2000s or something like that. Might have been maybe after 2010. But she did a Tomb Raider movie as well. And that one did okay because, you know, effects were more advanced and stuff like that. But I think Angelina still was the better Laura Croft, in my opinion. I think she did a good job with that. But I'm surprised you didn't watch that. So,
Yep. Sorry.
I got one. It is Spider-Man 3. I just found it online.
That was one you liked or you didn't like?
I liked it. I don't know. I guess I was like all into Spider-Man at that time.
Right.
You know, a little shorty. 2007, right. Spider-Man comes out. And then it comes out on, what was that? I think it was Xbox at the time.
Right.
I was in love with that game.
Yeah.
That was the type of game that I would beat the story, run it back.
Right.
Run it back. Hey, come over to my house for the weekend, guys. Sleepover, Spider-Man party. Let's do it.
Spider-Man party.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's dive in on that, too, because I did a lot of those. I had a lot of sleepovers with my neighbors, and it'd be nothing but games and high fructose corn syrup. I'm telling you, good times.
That's how you did it. You couldn't listen. I'm surprised the games didn't crap out on us, man. Them game systems took a beating because we had the sleepovers. We talking like 6-7 hours straight. Gaming. Just gaming and drinks and candy. And it's kind of like, you know, our parents didn't care because it's like, look, them boys ain't going nowhere.
Right.
They glued to that TV. They are totally fine. If I don't hear any screaming, then I'll go downstairs and see what's going on. That's crazy. Did y'all ever do anything like that, Jazz? Like y'all coming Mary Kay for the weekend?
Well,
no one wants to be forced to sit down next to you on a PC, right?
Right, right, right.
Yeah, this is true. That's why only not at sleepovers. I would never bring up, well, unless it was Seen It. You guys remember Seen It?
Yeah.
It was like a DVD game.
Good game. Good game.
So, of course, I had Nick Seen It. I had Disney Seen It. So I would force them to play Disney Seen It with me at sleepovers, 100%. And I would win every time, easily.
Wow. So you just,
easily.
That's because you probably had it all set up. You watched all that stuff over and over
again. That's what they said. They were like, Jazz is cheating because she plays this by herself. And I'm like, that's none of your business when I play by myself.
Home field advantage.
True.
Yeah,
true,
exactly. True. Okay. I know.
That's not bad. I mean, it's the MO now is they make, you know, all these comic books and video games into movies because it's easily sellable content. You know, it's kind of hard to not sell that stuff. You know what I mean? Because it's something everybody likes. But then you run into the issue of, I think, oversaturating. You know, I'm pretty sure you guys probably heard or seen, like, you know, Quentin Tarantino was talking about, you know, the Marvel Universe and how they don't make any movie stars and all that stuff. And I kind of understood what he was saying, you know, on one end, because, you know, obviously no disrespect to The Rock. I mean, he's a global superstar. I mean, you know, actors would be happy achieving a tenth of the global success as far as notoriety that he has. But for Black Adam to be doing so poorly in most people's opinion, you know, it's like you have the number one most recognizable action star arguably in the world. Like, I'm pretty sure The Rock can go anywhere in the world and people know, hey, that's The Rock. And for that movie to be doing as poorly as it does is because I think they were banking so much on just, you know, hey, we're gonna have this celebrity and we don't have to have a decent story, you know, we don't have to follow the comic book to the T, we can just do it. And you see what happens, man. I think, you know, people are especially when you're playing with their childhood. I mean, now these movies coming out, it's like even if somebody young goes and sees it, they're probably going with their parents and their parents remember this stuff. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, nah, you know, like when we're watching, you know, Avengers movies, you know, I remember the first Iron Man coming out. You know, that was 2 years before my daughter was born. Hmm. And now for that, this last phase to end, and my daughter was, what, probably 10 when it ended, 9 or 10. So, you know, I'm watching this with her and explaining it to her. And even now when she sees, you know, reruns, she remembers seeing it. So, mm-hmm. You know, I can't just sit there and watch. I'm like, I remember having this comic book. And that's kind of how it went, but not really. But whatever. And she's like, okay, Dad, sure, whatever. Anyway, and she's watching, you know, watching the movie. So, when people are reliving their childhood, we remember it a certain way. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's why they get a little offended by filmmakers seeming like they're not taking the time to at least get the fine points. You know what I mean?
Do your research, right? Come on, directors.
Right, right. Well, you know, and honestly, sometimes it's not necessarily on them. I think the studio. Right.
Screenplayer.
Right, right. You know, the studios are, I mean, look, the world took a hit, obviously, these last 2.5 years with COVID. And especially the entertainment industry. And you got to think about how much money. People don't realize that, but literally the entertainment industry literally lost, you know, billions of dollars. Because people don't realize how much all this plays into, you know, somebody was saying, well, yeah, streaming. And I'm like, yeah, you have streaming services, but that's not the same as, you know, productions don't make the same amount of money off of streaming services because that's a subscription. So they're only taking the percentage of all the people that are subscribed. And you got to think about how many people is like sharing a password with auntie and cousin and all that. So you're missing out to go into the theater, right?
You know, I do that.
Right. I tell people, I'm like, look, I'm honestly not mad. I mean, part of me is like, I wish people would do it because, you know, that's more money for me. But at the same time, I'm like, people aren't working. How do you expect people to pay $16 for this subscription, $10 for this one, $13 for this one, $14 for this one? You know, yes, cheaper than cable, but they still got to pay for all that. It's like, nah, people are going to share that stuff. And until they do something about it, I think Netflix is like talking this thing about now they're going to lock it in on IP addresses. So,
chill.
Yeah, they have been saying, no, they have been saying that. Yeah.
Wait a minute.
I guess they figure, look, you know, we losing a lot of money, so you guys better get it tight. But, you know, somebody's going to find a way to get around this, the Fire Stick. Mm-hmm.
Get a VPN.
Right. You go. You know what I'm saying? Like, listen, it can happen. So I think with them losing all that money, these these producers are not really trying to do the research. They're just kind of like, give us the gist of it, put somebody famous in there, boom, we'll get our money back and we can move on to the next. And I think that's you know, lazy in my opinion, because more people would come to watch stuff if you actually took the time, like you said, to do your research and put it out there, man. I mean, because some of these movies are still classics, like you said. You know, you'll go back and watch Mortal Kombat again just for the reasons, even though the CG doesn't hold up to today.
Your story, still go back and watch.
Yeah, mm-hmm. They did their research and they try to do as much as they can and cast the people and put them in there, you know, with all that stuff. And you know, it obviously, you know, will affect people the best way they can. And then these games coming out, you know, now it's crazy because the games look so real life that they're actually casting some of these, you know, actors who played the actual characters, and they're, you know, they're able to de-age them and have them use their voice and go, all right, cool, we're gonna make this, you know, this updated video game and all that. So you know, it's an interesting time, man, with the technology. But you know, in my opinion, nothing beats the old school. So I'm down. If I find a Nintendo somewhere, it's a wrap. Y'all might not see me for a couple.
I just thought about The Incredibles.
Yeah. Oh,
there was a game for The Incredibles.
Mm-hmm.
On PlayStation 2.
Yes, sir. And I was playing that bad boy. Yep.
I got it.
Yeah, that's crazy. It's like you said, I feel like, I don't know. I feel like The Incredibles had a great movie. And then when the game came around, you were like, it was all right. Mm-hmm. It was all
right. 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 Yeah, that was one of those shockers to me. I remember when that came out and I was just kind of like, I didn't have, you know, my daughter at the time. So when the first one came out, so I was like, I mean, what do I need to watch this for? Like, everybody's making a big hype about it. I was like, you know what? Sam Jackson's doing a voice. I'm going to go watch it just in the hopes that it flips up. Mm-hmm. Mother, you know. So I'm like, I'm ready to watch it. And I got to say, man, that movie just, I looked at it, I was like, damn, that was a
good movie.
Like, it was one of those, like, Shrek to me. Like, it was perfectly done where it had the jokes for the adults and it had the jokes for the kids and everybody could still follow what was going on. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I think about Shrek like that. I'm like,
yes,
man, these people took their time and did it in such a way where the kids won't look at you. And what does that mean, Daddy? You know, they kind of just like, oh, he's running. And he's like a little slide, you know, joke or something. And we're laughing. And the kids are just thinking, oh, Daddy enjoys them doing their fighting and running and, you know, the pie in their face or something. And we're laughing at something totally different. So I think that's to somebody doing their research and a good writer and good director.
You definitely have to appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Right. 100%. 100%.
Do you think that's what separates a movie from a film?
Yeah. And in what regard? What do you mean as far as like the writing or?
Well, what I've been, I know very little about acting, about videography and movie making and so forth. But a few, back in college, I remember a few classes, the ones that were a little, I'd say uppity, you know, with the nose up in there, but like, I don't watch movies. I only watch film. And there's a difference because film is well made and the movies are bleh.
Right. I think, speaking from an actor standpoint, I'll do it from that. From an actor standpoint, man, when you look at all the movies you guys, you know, when you were younger, watched, you know, even if you were younger and watching like the R-rated movies back in the day and all that.
Steve. I'm sorry.
I don't act like the rest of y'all ain't do it because I know you was trying to peek through the door. I'm 11, but it's PG-13. I'm going, ooh, don't act like
you. I don't want to tell you the movies I've watched at like 10 years old, okay?
Listen, let them ride.
Listen, I mean, look, I let my daughter, people are like, oh, it's different because my daughter's in the industry as well. So I'm showing her from more of a different standpoint. But even if she wasn't, I'd be letting her watch some of these movies that, you know, I'm like, listen, all right, baby, you know you can't say that word, but you can watch this. But now the line has moved so much, which ties into that. Like, PG-13 is really R back in the day for us. Like, Stranger Things, I was watching, my daughter had an audition for that. My daughter came very close to being on Stranger Things. But
Wow.
That was the one time where, you know, I had to consult with, you know, her mother. I was like, look, she's going to be saying... And she was like, Because you know, if you've seen Stranger Things, like especially in the later seasons, I was like, yo, they like,
oh yeah,
they wilding out right now.
Oh
like,
yeah,
you know. And so I said, okay, well, you know, you have to be cautious. But I think, to answer your question, Steve, I think it's when you watch stuff back in the day on film, actors had to come in more prepared because film is, people don't realize film is expensive to process. So it wasn't this thing of like you could do 20 takes because it's digital, warm, battery powered. No, 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 no. When you heard action, you know, it is an old saying from older actors to where, you know, when they're coaching like younger actors, they're like, you know, you can hear the money when we're taping. And what they mean by like the film reel is so loud when it's rolling, you can hear it running. It's like, you can hear that really loud. Mm-hmm. When actors, they hear action and they hear that, it puts this pressure on you because it's like, the longer you take, the more money you're spending because we got to get more. So it's your fault if we go over budget, you know? So actors came prepared and it was almost like a play. Like you had to be ready. I think with digital, that pressure's off. So it seems like sometimes some of the storytelling is a little lazy because it's like, we'll fix it in post. We can do it in CG or, we can do like 20 more takes because we have. And so a lot of people don't think they connect to it as well. And then back in the day, too, you had actors like Tom Cruise, obviously crazy ass, still doing it. But back in the day, you had actors and actresses doing their own stunts. And granted, they were safe, but it's like, it was more believable because you see them actually fighting. Mm-hmm. Now, it's so CG, it's just kind of like, all right. You know, it takes the to me the allure out of it. So I think that's what they mean by like the film purists, where it's like when it was on film, everybody practiced so much and rehearsed and took it more serious, and that's why the films are so much better versus digital. It's kind of you go in, you shoot, and if you messed up, delete, do it again. You know what I mean? Where you know you couldn't do that on film. So I think maybe that's where, I don't know, but maybe that's where that kind of came from for them. But I've heard that a lot on sets where, you know, if we were shooting on film, this would be so much better. And just like,
chill.
Right. Like, yeah. Right, whatever you say, man, you know. But I think, you know, it's so different in any industry, man. You look at like musicians, you know what I mean? You know, music, you guys know this is your, you know, world as far as music, you know. Somebody putting something on, literally putting something on wax.
Wax. I knew you were going to say that.
You had to come in with your bars tight. You couldn't go in and mess up and then, let's run it back. You know, that's why, you know, everybody, I think, respects Jay-Z so much because, you know, one take, right? Jay's like, nah, when I go in the booth, you're getting one take and that's all I need. You know what I mean? Because he's coming in ready because he's going through that era of like, you didn't have the luxury of just, you know, looping something together or, you know, throwing some auto-tune on or doing whatever. You know, same with singers. Like, if you came in there and your vocals wasn't tight, that's what was on the wax. That's what they're going to get. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, you should have came in ready. Did your scales.
Period.
Yeah. So, you know, I think it's just that with technology advancing, unfortunately, you know, creatives, I wouldn't necessarily call it laziness. It's just a dependency on the technology. You know what I mean? Like I can mess up and this computer will have my back. So it's okay. And I try not to, I mean, I've, you know, there's been a couple times where I'm like, you know, I'll do an audition. I'm like, man, I'm just gonna cut this together. It'd be all right. But I try not to get trapped in that. Cause I'm like, no, because you know, this is what I do. So let me go in and give it 100%. And it usually goes better when I do, because they're seeing something in there. It's like a passion they're seeing in there that they, you know, you vibe with. So, you know, I don't know, man. And it depends on who you have. Like on Dahmer, that's the one thing I'll say about that. You know, the filmmakers were old school. Even though we were shooting digital, you know, Richard Jenkins don't play no games. Like, he's an old school seasoned actor. Molly Shannon, you know, Penelope, Ann Miller, you know, Niecy. Like, all of us have been in the game for a long time. So it's like, when we came to set, we don't play that. Nah, we're going to do 10 takes. Hell nah. If we don't get it in the first three, we ain't got it. And it's like, but trust me, we're going to get it.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, man, I think that was a joy to be around that and remind myself, like, oh, nah, you got to put this work in, man. You better not come in there and get lazy.
Speaking of putting in work, you've been the game. You've been the industry for some time now.
Right.
How long did you have to grind before you got your big break? And what would you say to someone that is looking to step into the industry, that's looking for their big break?
Right. Well, first, I ain't got my break yet, so not by my standards. So I appreciate that, but by my standards, like, I'm still there's a goal that you shoot for as an actor, which is to get meetings. And what I mean by that is, right now you're in the auditioning phase, you know. So when you're in the auditioning phase, you still got to grind. And even though my resume may look better than the people auditioning against me, there's still somebody else in that higher tier that I'm trying to take down. When you get to a point to where you are getting meetings, the auditions don't happen anymore. So like I was saying, like where Evan Peters is at, mm-hmm. you know, he's been in the game since he was a young teen. So same amount of years as me. He just started earlier, you know, I started later. He knows Ryan Murphy well. So it's like, he doesn't have to ever audition for Ryan. It's meetings. Ryan calls him, is like, read the script. What do you think? All right, cool. To me, that's where the big break is, where your work is recognized by so many in the industry that are doing big things, to where they don't call your team to ask you to audition. It's read the script, give me your thoughts. Do you think you can play this role? All right, cool. So that's what I consider that. But I don't get it twisted. I'm very blessed. I'm very fortunate to do a lot of things I've done. But that being said, you know, this is my 23rd year chasing this dream of acting and doing it professionally. This is my 15th year doing it. So I'll say I wasn't able to become a full-time actor until about, I'd say, probably about 14 years in. Wow. I was able to actually like quit working 2 or 3 jobs and just chase the acting thing, you know, full time. So if anything, it's persistence, man. You know, I tell my students, you know, when I'm teaching all the time, you know, this is no different than any other industry. You know, you got to go get your training and understand what it is you're doing in this career. You got to go network, politic. It's like any other career. The only difference with us is that, you know, your reputation and your work will precede you before you even apply to anything, because everybody gets to watch it. You know, even if it's at a film festival, people get to watch it, opposed to where if you're a doctor, other, you know, hospitals across the country probably haven't seen you perform surgery or take care of somebody. They're just going off the paper you send in, and then they have you come in and talk. To where before I even get to LA, before I get to New York, before I get to Canada, wherever I'm working, they've already seen my reel, they've already seen something I've been on. So they have this preconceived notion of who I am before I walk in the door. And so that's why you got to be on point with your stuff and be ready. So it's really just about, you know, the training, the networking, and then patience, patience, patience. I can't stress that enough. And it sucks because you're going to hear that over and over and over again. But this industry is a numbers game. And that's the thing. You know, you can get a job because of how you look. You can get a job because of how you're built. You can get a job because you have tattoos or because you don't. You know, because you got a beard, because you don't. Short hair, long hair. You know, because you're black, because you're white, because you're Latin, because whatever. There's so many things that other industries will get in trouble for because that's considered discrimination. That's fair game in our industry, you know. So, you know, I can intentionally tell you I'm not giving you this role because you're a woman and I want a man in this role, and there's nothing you can do about it, you know. So that's where the patience has to come in. But I think now with certain mediums, you can create your own content, put it out there online and show people, hey, I'm you know, I'm a solid actor, I'm training, here's my skills, and get people to like it. And I think lastly, just, you got to surround yourself with people who are going to, you know, champion you. You know, you need to be your biggest cheerleader, but you still need to be around people who are going to, and but also not BS you. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't want people that are going to be like, yeah, you're going to do it all the way, man. And you're the best. You're the best. You're the best. You know, you need those people that's like, I mean, honestly, I don't think that last thing you did was pretty good. Like, I'm just being real with you, bro. Like, it was not bad, you know. You need that because it will still keep you focused and grinding toward the goal you want to get to. So you got to surround yourself with that tight circle of people that's going to motivate you, but keep it a buck with you as well. And I think when you line all those elements up, man, it's not a coincidence that you will start working regularly. And then at that point, the audience will want to see, you know, see more of you. And you know, that's where more of the work comes in. And I mean, you guys know, I mean, you know, think about how long it is you've been, you know, hosting and doing this radio thing. And then like
600 years,
you know what I'm saying? Well, right. Look at how, like, look at when you first, if you go back to when you first started versus where you are now.
Oh yeah.
And look at that journey. And it's like, people may look at it and go, well, it was only like 4 or 5 years. It was only whatever. But for you, it's like, that might as well have been eternity because I was doing this every day.
It's right. Like,
you know, people, I think people don't realize that. They look at a short span and go, well, you made it in 5 years or you made it in 10 years. And it's just like, okay. But every single day I was doing something. You take weekends off. You take holidays off. You take months right. off with 9 to 5. We can't afford to do that. And on top of doing this passion, I still have to have a 9 to 5 to sustain. So I'm pulling double duty every day while you get to take a little break. So that 4 or 5 years,
you need to
double that. Mm-hmm. That's like, you know, as far as the work hours I put in. And so that's what I think people don't really understand when they try to jump into, at least with acting. They go, oh, I went viral on social media. So now I'm like, all right, good luck. You know, longevity ain't going to be there for you. And you see it. And it's not to throw shade at nobody, but look at all these social media stars that, you know, have blown up, you know, since Vine or like, you know, TikTok, whatever, you know what I'm saying? Like, but look at that. And then, but now where are these people at now? That's what I'm saying. It's like, where do you see them now? They're still on social media. They may have done a movie, but then it's like, have you seen them in anything else? Have you seen them in TV shows? Have you seen them? You don't. And it's not because they don't have the ability to be good. It's because they thought the likes was going to sustain them. And it's not how it works. You know, the GOAT, Denzel, man, I say this quote all the time, you know, I'm paraphrasing, but he did an interview and they asked him about social media and why he's not on it. And Denzel said, you know, he said, as far as actors go, you know, you're not a good actor because of your following. You have a following because you're a good actor. And that right there, exactly. You know, people get it twisted. They think, oh, I got a million people following me. That means I'm good at what I do. No, that means you say stuff that appeal to people. But after a while, you're going to stop saying stuff that people like, and then those followers are going to drop off. But if you put out good work and good content and people know that about you, it doesn't matter if you say anything or not, they're always going to tune in. And for me, that's always been a goal of mine, is to get on that, you know, that level of notoriety and respect that Denzel and Viola and Meryl and Will have, you know what I mean? Because at the end of the day, you could say, you know, and I'll keep it brief on that, you know, so I don't want to keep you guys here all day, but you know, with this whole Will Smith situation, man, I 100% agree. You never lay hands on anybody. I don't give a shit who you are. You never do that. And Will, anybody who knows me knows I'm like the number one Will Smith fan. He's a big reason as to why I started pursuing this seriously. The first movie that made me question whether or not, hey, it would be cool to be an actor. I saved up my money. I'll never forget. ID4, that's what I call that. It came out on July 4th. I went and saw Independence Day. That was the first movie that I saved my money up and got to get dropped off at the movie theater and paid my own way to my ticket and bought popcorn. I saved up all my allowance and crushed cans in New York that I got money from and all this other stuff. And I went and saw Independence Day. And, you know, now I look back on it subconsciously, seeing a black actor in a superhero role kind of was a good thing. But for me, just, this is Fresh Prince up here saving the world. Like, that's cool. Yeah. Hey, if he could do it, I could probably do it. You know what I mean? And I dabbled in it, but I didn't take it seriously. And then later on, when I'm studying film and looking at stuff and I'm looking at the things he's doing, you know, to have a 30-year career and this is what people want you to be taken down for. It's like, all right, yes, as a person, human being, you messed up. You know what I mean? You assaulted somebody else. You shouldn't have done it. Cool. Yeah, he was talking slick about your wife, but you could have handled that. You know, if he was going to be on some Philly stuff, wait till the awards is over, see Chris backstage and do what you got to do. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
However, nobody can take away from this man's legacy. He literally has, as far as him being in the title role, being a lead actor in his movie, he has zero flops. Everybody talks about Wild Wild West. Wild Wild West made his money back. So that's not a flop. He has zero flops as a lead actor in any film. Same thing with Denzel. You know, same thing with Viola as far as when they're in the title roles, because these people respect what they do. And for me, you know, you can ban him from the Oscars all day, but everybody and their mama knows, especially after this weekend, because what people are saying about this film that's about to drop his emancipation is like, I think it's going to solidify that he's still a superstar. But the goal has always been, I tell people, you know, if you can put somebody's name on a poster and that's it, if you had a black, if you guys went to the movies right now and you saw a black poster and it just had white text on it and it said Denzel, Viola, Will, De Niro, Pacino, it just said somebody's name, that's it, you didn't have no other context other than their name, you're gonna go buy a ticket and watch the movie.
Because
100%. Hell yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. I gotta see what this is about.
Mm-hmm. I gotta see what it's about.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the superstars that Tarantino was talking about, and it's like they still exist, because you can't do that with some of these other people. You know what I mean? Like, I see some mm-hmm. of these celebrities on, quote unquote, you know, social media celebrities and all that, and it's like, yo, you killing it on here. But honestly, if I saw your name on the poster by itself and nothing else, I don't know if I'm gonna spend $15 on a ticket to go watch that. You know what I mean? Because you can entertain me for a minute or two, but for an hour and a half, can you do that? You know, for an hour, can you do that? For 2 hours, can you do that? So that's, for me, always been the goal of my career, is do enough work to where it's like, if somebody walks by and they go, Chris Green, I don't really like his last movie, but I'm gonna watch this one because, you know, his last movie was or his movie before that was when they start comparing your work to your work, to me, that's upper echelon stuff. You know, same thing with musicians, same thing with dancers, painters, anything like that, you know, any creative, when they're comparing your work to your work and not to anybody else, you win it regardless of what anybody says. So that's how I look at it.